Happy New Year. Time right now is 8:30. This is the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. My name is Colin Worthington. I do believe this is the first live show of the new year. And who could ask for a better guest, or who couldn't? We could not ask for a better guest. There you go. Jay Collins, District 71 State Representative out of the city of Villarrica, kind enough to join us on this morning's program, kind of do a preview of the legislative session, which begins next Monday. And we'll see how hard he's thought about running for Congress as well. Jay, good morning, sir.
You talking to me?
Yes.
About Congress?
Did I not turn your mic on? You know what? Maybe I put on the wrong one. You're going to run for Congress, right?
You're talking to me about Congress.
Yes, sir.
No, there are a lot of things I want to do in life, but running for Congress is not one of them.
It's not one of them. Okay, we'll officially take you off the list. Yeah. There's probably four more other people that I have seen are considering. Anybody you would support or back up?
Well, I think if Mike Dugan is going to throw his name in the ring, we need to get behind him in Carroll County. I mean, first of all, I want to say thank you to Mike for what he has done. He and Missy, what they've done being in the Senate. He's represented Carroll County well. He's represented West Georgia well. He's helped move the football down the field, so to speak. For our community and for this state, and I want to thank him for that and thank him for his friendship. And I hope everybody within the sound of my voice would jump on his bandwagon and let's send him to Congress.
I would like him. I mean, several reasons why I would support Mike, but one of them is that I think he'd be good communication for us locally.
Oh, sure.
We haven't had a representative in, 7 years who actually gives us good representation as far as communicating things, doing interviews and things like that. So that'd be nice. I think Mike would do that. Until we said something mean about him at any time. No, yeah. Just kidding. Again, Jay Collins, our guest on this morning's Community Voice. I got a couple things that I wanted to touch on that are supposed to be brought up in the session. And we'll get your feelings on those and then get your idea of some things that should be brought up or maybe some legislation that you're a part of. This one was interesting. In October, Georgia's lieutenant governor said that he wants to pay teachers $10,000 a year to encourage them to carry guns in schools. Lieutenant Governor Burt Jones said he wants the state to spend more money on school safety, including paying for teachers and other non-officers to take firearms training and paying teachers who hold a firearms training certificate and annual stipend. How far is that going to make it in legislative this year?
Well, you know, I have my wheelhouse, and then there are several other wheelhouses under the Gold Dome. And, you know, I think if the lieutenant governor makes that a priority for the Senate and for, you know, himself, then that'll probably see get a lot of traction under the Gold Dome. You know, whether that comes over to the House and the House makes that a priority is yet to be determined. That's why we gavel in on Monday and go to work. But, you know, I think if that's something the lieutenant governor wants, then that's going to be looked at pretty closely by both chambers.
And you're the chairman of National Homeland Security.
Public Safety and Homeland Security.
So would that fall under your committee, or would that still be education?
It would be a possibility that it could come through public safety. It would just determine. It would be determined by the speaker as to what committee that would go into if that bill came over from the Senate.
Mm-hmm. District 71, Jay Collins, our guest. If you have any questions or comments, I encourage you to post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and we'll take a look at that during the break and share those comments and questions with Jay. Again, next Monday is when the session starts. You'll have new bills to consider, also some that are carried over from last year. And Raffensperger had mentioned this one last year, and I don't think it got a lot of traction, but this year he's renewing his call for Georgia General Assembly to eliminate general election runoffs in the state.
Absolutely.
And you're in favor of that. And his argument, or his initial argument anyway, is that you know, less contentious time during the holidays.
That's
and
right.
Families are enjoying Thanksgiving. They shouldn't have to, you know, talk about the races that are going on. And plus, you know, less people go out to those. So you would.
And let's talk about the amount of money that it costs local governments. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at Villarrica that just came through a mayoral election and you had a runoff. I mean, that's tens of thousands of dollars that local governments spend each time they have a runoff election.
And it was 600 people or something that went out to vote.
Oh, it's very, very expensive and costly, excuse me, to local government, and there could be a system put in place that would eliminate that. And it's worth having a conversation. I'm not saying that type of public policy needs to be instituted based on, you know, just what the lieutenant, secretary of state has asked for, but, you know, that's why you vet these types of things in committees.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of different ideas and look at different perspectives. And then hopefully something good could come out of that. But I think it's worth having a conversation.
One of the suggestions in the past has been that the ranking system, if there's five people running for an office, you pick who you would vote for first, and if they died, the second person in three, four, five.
That's right.
I mean, is that something that you'd be interested in? Are there other options?
I think that there are some other options, and that seems to be the best fit from what I have seen. But again, I think that's why you go through the process, you get in the committee. Fortunately for me, I sit on the Governmental Affairs Committee, and all the elections legislation comes through the committee that I serve on. So I would be very open to listening to that debate and hearing what that looks like, seeing what that looks like.
Sports betting, that's been talked about for probably the last 3 or 4 years, and will that be coming back?
Well, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's something that we should look at, if nothing else, just for the lottery, to be able to continue to raise money for the Hope Scholarship.
And this year was the first year in a while that Hope Scholarship was fully funded, right?
That's exactly right, yeah. Yes. And so, you know, the Hope Scholarship is doing very well. That's been a program that has, you know, changed lives, affected generations of Georgians. And the reality, Colin, is if you have a smartphone, there are ways you can get around, you know, what the legislation prohibits right now. I mean, you can go online and bet, and there's no type of oversight. So I think that technology has, you know, circumvented the legislative body, so to speak, with how people can get around those roadblocks. So I think if you brought it into the light, so to speak, and legalized that, and put guardrails on it, and allowed that money to be used by the lottery, and let the lottery oversee that, I think that would be a good thing.
Is that something similar to, like, I guess recently Amazon and maybe eBay in Georgia? Now there's taxes on those in the state of Georgia.
That's right.
That Georgia gets on there.
That's right.
Also, something that I saw was interesting. Lawmakers will reconsider House Bill 30, and that's a bill that would allow prosecutors to tack on anti-Semitism charges to crimes committed against Jewish people or places.
Yes.
It barely failed, apparently, last year. But that'll
We passed it out of the House, and I think it got stuck over in the Senate for several different reasons. But, you know, I think the House has shown that, you know, we support our Jewish friends in Israel, and we need to be steadfast in the way that we do that, and I think it's past time to bring that into law.
Controversial school voucher program. We give parents of students in the state's lowest performing districts vouchers for private or homeschooling. That one carried over from last year too, and that's different versions of that's been brought to legislators over probably the last decade.
Yeah, I was one of, I think, about 15 Republicans that actually voted against that, and you know, I'm just not ready to give up on our public school system. And I think when we start the voucher program, and there are a lot of discussion, a lot of debate about that, and there are a lot of passionate folks on both sides of the issue, but you know, if you have a failing school, that failing school, in my opinion, is a reflection of that community. And so, you know, there are bigger issues there than just failing schools. And we need to fix the problem. You know, I think if you allow this type of legislation to kind of crack the door open and let people start using those funds to go into private education, I think you open up Pandora's box and cannibalize public schools the way essentially we've known them the last, you know, 100 years or so in our country. And I'm just not ready to do that. I think we need to fix the problem, but there's no excuse for having a failing school in this state or in this nation. So we fix the problem, but I think taking tax dollars away from public education is not the answer.
And I'm guessing that the local school boards and superintendents agree with you on that.
Local educators agree
on that.
With me.
Are there any concerns that maybe homeschoolers, if they get that voucher, I mean, who's... I mean, I guess there'll have to be stipulations and things. I mean, how do you prove that they're doing what they should do, or are they just collecting that extra money?
I think you have to put guardrails in place to make sure that the money's going to where it needs to be and it's improving the education for young people. You know, I'm not one who has a lot of education background. My mom was an educator. I have educators in the extended family. But, you know, I think that there are things that can be done to improve this proposed legislation. Number one reason I didn't vote for it is it really didn't affect anybody in my district. And when you go to fundamentally change the way that we fund education in this state through this type of legislation, I just didn't feel like that was the right vote for my district.
Jay Collins, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, District 71, state representative. Before we go to a break, do you suspect, do you see, are you aware of any legislation that could have an impact or affect the trial of a former president? In the state of Georgia?
Not right now.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see anything coming in this year?
I don't see anything.
Okay. Time right now is 8:40. Community Voices brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. Again, if you go to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page and post your questions and comments, I will share them when we come back. More after this.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is District 71 State Representative Jay Collins. Again, any questions or comments, feel free to post those to our Facebook page. One of our good friends, Cynthia Daly, posting this question here. Will the potential Coweta Judicial Circuit be moving forward in the upcoming session?
The split of the circuit?
The split, I guess, yeah.
There's been some discussion in the interim about the circuit split and what that would look like. I know there are a lot of people that I've spoken with that would like to see that circuit split up, and I've been a proponent of that for quite some time. It's just we have to wait and see. It's one of those wait and see situations.
If you're a proponent of it, do you have a preference on how it would be split? Because I think that I think the DA has a way that a suggestion, and maybe some other people want to see it a different way.
Yeah, you know, I think Herb has stepped out there and discussed the split a pretty good bit. But, you know, the reality is you take Coweta and Carroll County, I mean, those are two really big counties. And then, you add the other counties that are in
Meriwether,
Heard, and Troop. You know, I think from my perspective, just looking at it from a 30,000-foot perspective, if you will, you know, a Carroll, Troop, Heard split would look pretty nice from where I can see. Whether those other counties that want to go along with that. I mean, I'm one representative in that area, and you have to have some collective buy-in from different senators and representatives. So, but from my perspective, a Carroll, Heard, Troop circuit would look pretty nice.
And the circuit did add a new judge this year.
Yes,
so is it
sure
seven
did.
Or eight?
I think that makes eight, maybe. Okay. I guess eight.
Well, yes. if the district were split, would that have to add another judge, or we think that those could accommodate that?
Well, I think the new judge came from Coweta, so if you split that off, I think it would be pretty even.
Yeah. Georgia Department of Education put out a list of priorities they'd like to see you guys discuss this year. Another $3,000 pay raise for teachers to build on the raises already secured by Governor Kemp and General Assembly, and bring the total teacher pay increase to $10,000 within the next 3 years. What's the chances of that happening?
Well, I think you'll probably see educators being rewarded for the terrific job that they're doing, whether it'll be that much. Again, that's why we gavel in on Monday and go to work settle some of these issues. I think that we've done a really good job over the last few years with the economy being great. I mean, Georgia has more money than ever before. In investing in those things that we hold near and dear to our hearts, which are educators, law enforcement, and I think you'll continue to see the focus there to improve those salaries and get the pay up for those areas.
The end of year bonus that was given out to state employees and teachers last month, $1,000, and then you take out taxes and everything. So Georgia does get some of that money back, but I don't think that everybody in the school systems got that, right? I mean, there are positions within school systems who didn't get paid there. I mean, is that, it kind of puts the local school boards.
There are always ways that we can improve how we do things under the Gold Dome. And it's unfortunate that a lot of times when we do vote on a lot of these things where we do give pay increases. There are areas of people that are left out because their job description wasn't in this area or that area of education or public safety for that matter also. So, you know, there are things that we leave out, and that's what we have the amended budget, the little budget that we talk about when we first start back into session. That's one of the areas that we use to, you know, help right some of those wrongs, so to speak.
The QBE formula, that's a discussion every year, too. What's the chance of fully funding that? And, I mean, yeah, speaking of Dugan at the beginning of the show, I mean, yes, he was working on rewriting
a QBE. He did some really good work, and I hope that that work continues in those committees that he was a part of.
Mm-hmm. How about expand the allowable use of SPLOST funds? So, you know, right now SPLOST, I think, is just for projects, right?
Right.
E-SPLOST, but there's the Department of Education for the state is asking that let the SPLOST include software subscriptions and other digital instructional resources. How do you feel about that?
You know, I think that's as we move forward and you see areas where those SPLOST dollars could be spent outside of salaries and structured, you know, expenditures, that's a conversation to have. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of areas that could be improved with SPLOST dollars that are currently, you know, not allowable under the way the legislation is written. So I think that would be something that the legislature would be willing to look at.
SPLOST will never end, will it?
Probably not.
No, I mean, it's put up every 6 years, and there's been campaigns to keep it around. I just, you know, you look at some of these systems, how much, you know, what did they do? I guess what was SPLOST the late 90s?
Right.
Approved for the first time? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seems like a lot of these school systems do have a lot of nice stuff at this point.
Well, probably early 90s. I said early 90s it probably came around.
So it's been there for a while.
And it's for the most part, I have to give my great credit to the local governments around. I mean, they've spent SPLOST dollars wisely. Mm-hmm. I know there are some systems that do not do that, but
it just seems like there's an opportunity to buy things you don't need.
Well, ultimately, but it's up to the voters. The voters can mm-hmm. pull the trigger on that and say that enough is enough at any point in time.
Well, you put that one big project in there that you see the voters will vote for.
Absolutely.
But then there's still $50 million left, and they got to spend something, so they're going to buy.
I remember one local elected official years ago that actually used SPLOST dollars to pay down a debt service on a sewer plant in northern part of Carroll County. So yeah.
That worked out.
Wise man.
Yeah, well, perhaps we'll get a job for him someday. Jay Collins, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program, District 71 State Representative, getting over the cooties, just as I am starting with the cooties.
Yeah.
But you, over the summer, I mean, you were part of some committees, I guess. What were...
We have a working group that the speaker put me on with a couple of other representatives, and it was just a working group talking about how we can, you know, help out our state public safety, specifically the state patrol with retention, rewarding, and recruiting for that agency. You know, our state troopers' numbers are down. I mean, we're really about half of what we should be in the state. You look at other states that are our size, I mean, we have close to half of what we probably should. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to get folks to want to go into that profession. Local government has the same problem. So we've had a working group that we've met a couple of times to discuss some things where we could, you know, like I said, we'll improve the recruitment, retention, and rewarding of those state officers.
Another question here, a comment on the Facebook page. I have seen where there's supposedly several tort reform issues are going to come up, and Cynthia Daly asking us, she's an attorney, as you can tell, but she's asking these questions. What, if any, tort reform is being proposed this session?
You know, I haven't seen the specifics. I've heard that, you know, the governors want to make that a top priority. You know, I think you'll see what'll probably happen is you'll see a bill come around, you know, attorneys that serve in both houses or both bodies, the Senate and the House, will probably get together and they'll fight it out. And then I would say, like I said at the chamber meeting the other day, then the more reasonable people, folks who are not attorneys, will probably get in the room and argue and fight it out and see what happens. But I keep hearing that will be an issue that'll come up. And I think that, you know, I think that's a slippery slope there. You know, everybody wants to kick around, you know, attorney until you need one, and then you want the best one you can possibly get. But you know, the fact of the matter is that you know, that's a delicate slope there.
Charlotte Evans has a question. I'm not really sure what it has to do. Oh, I see now. But yeah, and I don't know if this is actually a question for you, but it says, will the city of Villarrica be hiring an MS4 compliance and enforcement inspector to run the watershed protection program?
You know what? That is a great question.
Well, great.
That is a great question for her mayor and for her city council members, because I know my friends on the city council and I know the mayor, and they're just sitting at home right now waiting on someone to call and send them an email and ask them a question. And I do not want to deny them the privilege of serving their constituency.
Very good. So there you go, Charlotte. Yep. Sorry if I didn't understand it, but I didn't think that would be a question for you. Before we do go, any comments about what took place in Villarrica? You're formerly a mayor for the last 6 months of the year?
You know what? I love Villarrica. Villarrica is a city of gold, and its brightest days are certainly ahead of it. And I look forward to working with the mayor and the council to help my friends there in Villarrica.
Very nice. 850 Community Voice is brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy, and we'll be back with about 9 minutes left in our program. Again, if you have questions or comments, please post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. We'll have more after this.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
.851 Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest this morning is District 71 Representative Jay Collins. At least for the time being, he is the representative. If you missed any of this program, we're going to have it in podcast form on our website, newstalk1330.com, by 9:05. And, of course, it'll be on Facebook, News Talk 1330 WLBB for eternity. Now, Paul Rutledge just checked in, and I think he missed the beginning of the program, but I think it's okay if we revisit this. He said, what are the prospects for gambling sports betting in Georgia? We are one of only a few states missing out on this revenue stream.
Well, I supported some legislation a couple of years ago that would put it on the ballot and let the voters decide. And I still think that's the best way to do that. That's really the only way that we can bring, casino. We called it a destination resort,
right?
Casinos would actually be bricks and mortar, and it would have limited, I think, four destination resort areas throughout the state geographically. But I think the voters ought to decide that. That legislation that we got going a few years ago, it also required that not only did you have to have a state referendum, but local governments had to have buy-in too. So if you were going to have a casino that was going to come to your backyard, you had to vote to ratify that. So I think put it to the voters, let the people decide what they want.
It mentioned Kevin Cook earlier in the show. Potentially he's going to run for District 30. And I remember conversations with him about 5-6 years ago. He's presenting stats that are showing the communities that have those sports betting potential for increased crime and things along those lines. Is there any disproof to that at this point?
Well, I think if you look around, you can see that there are a lot of areas in the state that have high crime and they don't have casinos. Mm-hmm. When you look at what the legislation that we proposed a couple of years ago, what it allowed for, it wasn't going to be a slum. It was going to be a billion-dollar investment. I don't necessarily buy into that. You can make statistics look the way you want them to.
Time right now is 8:54. Kevin Cook, Tim Bearden, they soon expected to announce they're going to run for the open seat, District 30. Mike Dugan leaving, resigning to run for Congress. How about you? Any interest in being a state senator?
I have absolutely no interest in being a state senator, but I do have a lot of interest in my friend Tim Bearden becoming the next state senator for this area.
So you're pretty content being the 71 guy, huh?
I'm content being Jay Collins, absolutely.
Gotcha. Very cool. We've got about 5 minutes left in the program. Any legislation that we haven't talked about that maybe you're sponsoring or anything that you look forward to cracking down, you think needs to happen this year before it's all just wiped away again?
Well, you know, last year I had some legislation that was going to bring a little more credibility and accountability and transparency for our school speeding cameras, right, where you have the automatic license plate readers that are issuing civil monetary penalties to people who think that it's okay to speed in school zones. That's a piece of legislation that I worked on. It got held up over in the Senate for a few different reasons. And I hope to bring that back. I just want to make that more clear to people who get a ticket or a civil monetary penalty, if you will, that there's a court date that you can go to and just a place where you can contest those monetary penalties that are given. And also, one of the big things I want to clean up in that legislation is the ticket, you know, the civil monetary penalty can only be issued when the lights are flashing. I think there's
a place in DeKalb County or something like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of places around the state that run those cameras without the lights being flashing, and it really confuses people. And I think there needs to be some continuity across the state to where everyone knows in every area of this state, if you see the lights flashing, slow down. And if you don't, there's a possibility you get a ticket. So there's some things on that bill I want to work on to help just bring some transparency and credibility and accountability to those vendors that are operating those machines and then for the public as well.
There seems to be several important issues that should and could be hashed out this year. However, it's an election year.
Right.
You put those two together. Do you see a lot of things being accomplished? And do you need to accomplish stuff? I mean, if you went through a whole session and you guys didn't approve or change anything, would you be happy with that?
Well, I've said all along, and I've tried to keep my promise to the people when I ran 8 years ago, you know, I'm not about more legislation. More legislation is not the answer. You know, the thing that really bothers me about legislation is the unintended consequences. And I saw that from a local government perspective and especially now at a state perspective. When you look at changing legislation or crafting legislation, what are the unintended consequences? How is this going to play out and affect people in my district 5 years from now, 10 years from now? So, you know, I'm very careful about what I try to propose and what I vote on. And you're exactly right. I mean, if we could cut down what gets passed every year, I think our time under the Gold Dome would be much more well spent.
Do we see some fake, and they may already be out there, some fake proposals just because people are running for re-election? They might have some challengers.
I'm sure. You have a lot of bills that are pre-filed this time of the year before the session starts, and then you'll see a lot of bills that will drop next week. And, you know, that's just part of the gamesmanship.
It might be outrageous. And to remind folks, with the redistricting of the redistricting maps, you're not affected.
No.
District 71 is not affected at all. So if you live in 71, you'll still.
That's right.
Yeah, if you're outside of 71.
So it's Temple, Villa Rica, the Carroll County side of Villa Rica, you know, comes down, catches Fairfield, catches a couple of precincts in North Carrollton. So a really good area.
All right. Jay Collins is not running for Senate. He's not running for Congress.
Nope.
It was good to have you on the show, though. Glad to see you're better and healthy.
Colin, always. And I want to say to our friends down in Coweta County, I think that they lost a deputy, Coweta County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff Lynn Wood, I think a deputy, was killed overnight, and from what I'm hearing. And I want to say that my thoughts and prayers go out to them. And also the Spalding County Sheriff's Office.
That's the one I was aware of. Wow. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Jay. And if you watch the program later on in the morning or later in the afternoon, if you have questions, please feel free to post those. I know Jay likes to go back and answer those, and he'll happily do that.
Absolutely. Colin, always a pleasure.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
9 o'clock. Stay tuned right now for national headlines, followed by the Glenn Beck program. Tomorrow morning, a gentleman who used to be a state representative will be on the Community Voice program. His name is Kevin Cook. Hopefully you'll tune in for that at 8:30 tomorrow, Community Voice.